Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM. Today is Wednesday, March 6th, and we are broadcasting to you live from the University of British Columbia Vancouver campus, which is unceded and stolen Musqueam territory. Indigenous voices in so-called Canada have been systematically devalued and diminished, and this cannot go unacknowledged in broadcast media such as radio. To hear more, please listen to Unceded Airwaves from CITR's Indigenous Collective. My name is Serena, and I'm the host for today, and Izzy is saying hello to me. Hi, Izzy. We're also joined in the studio by Cecilia, Mickey, and Margot, if you guys want to introduce yourselves and say hi.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, this is Cecilia.
Yay. Okay. So today we have a couple of reviews going on, which is going to be awesome. And we also have an interview that I did with Adrian from Ancient Teeth, which is a super awesome grunge band from Montreal. So I think we're going to go right into the interview now, which is going to last for about 20-ish minutes. And then when you come back, you can hear some awesome reviews about a dance performance. And also, what did you review again?
A theater.
Theater performance as well. So yeah, it's going to be great. Thank you so much for listening to the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus, located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
Wrestling fans, let's get ready to rumble!
Boom Pro Wrestling is coming to you live from the Great Hall at the Nest on Friday, March 22nd. Wrestling maniacs of all ages are welcome to watch these talented fighters duke it out at UBC. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and bell time is at 7:30 sharp. Enjoy the cash bar as you cheer on your favorite players. Visit boomprowrestling.com to purchase your tickets. And hurry, because this event is sure to be a knockout. Don't miss Boom Pro Wrestling at UBC campus on March 22nd.
Hey, I was listening to your new album from the little like promo media release that you gave me, which is sweet. So your album, Humanizer, is out in a couple days. What was some of the, I guess, inspiration behind that album, and how does it like show your growth as a band?
That's a good question. You know, it's the second record, or the second sort of installment of Ancient Teeth. So it started in Vancouver when the pandemic hit, but the stories take place exactly when the first record ends. And so this, you know, we kind of came back to Vancouver to try and set up as a family, a new family and young family. And it just was incredibly challenging. And, you know, the cost of living was just like brutal. We had been broken into several times, and then the pandemic hit, everything stopped. So we packed up the car and drove off, and we stayed at my folks in the mountains for a couple months. So I started writing then. And then we ended up deciding, like, oh, I think, you know, we might be better off in Montreal, because the lifestyle in Vancouver was so hazardous. I would be having to work like 12 to 14 hour days just to pay the rent. And I would never, I just, there were days I didn't see my kid, you know, I would leave before they woke up, and I'd be home after they went to bed. And I was like, it's not really a lifestyle I want. So we kind of examined all the different places in Canada that we could kind of live, and Montreal really, it showed up as an opportunity to have a healthy lifestyle of living, playing music, and working, you know, so I could be a present father and also be able to elaborate more on my songwriting and using Ancient Teeth as a, as my, what do you call it?
Your outlet? Is that what you're
my saying? Outlet. Oh my gosh. There we go. That's the word. And, yeah, so it's been a big journey, and the album started in Vancouver, and then it kind of, as we were traveling across the country and settling in here, the rest of the material came to, and then as soon as it was finished demoing, you know, it took maybe 9 months or so, we just went right into the studio. I called upon the same group of musicians in Toronto and Jamil, who's in Winnipeg, and we went over the songs the day before and just went into the studio and made a record. So it's like a really live record, and the same way that we did the first one, it's just like everybody understands how a song structure flows, and then we add our own elements to it, and then the album's done, you know? So it's a really cool way to make records, mm-hmm. I think, especially being able to go into a nice big studio, which is very rare, and to just kind of hang out there in our little temple of solitude, you know. So we all really appreciate the opportunity to go and make records like that.
So would you say, like, do you want to speak to your band and I guess the influence that they have on the album as well? Because yeah, how you're saying that it's like a live record, and that's really important to you, and like being there, being together in the studio space, I'm betting, like, also after the pandemic, that's like a major change too, right? Like, you're able to kind of connect with your people and like make something out of your experience. So that's pretty crucial as well.
It was. And when we drove into Toronto, so we were still living in Montreal. We drove into where I booked the studio, and I remember pulling into the parking lot and kind of shedding a tear, because it was the first time that the lockdowns had been lifted, and we were able to go and sit in a room and play. And I was so grateful that we had the opportunity to be together, and we didn't have to wear masks, and we didn't have to be afraid of each other, and we weren't confused about what was right and what was wrong. And I remember by the Friday, I think it was the 21st of December, we were kind of finishing up overdubs, and that news was out, they're going to impose more lockdowns. And so like this little window happened for us to get together, and then there would be another period of time that was going to be very restricted. And so I felt like, wow, we really nailed that, and that opportunity. And so it was a very, very difficult time for a lot of people. And it was for me to be able to describe sort of reality in this way with music, and I'm glad that I connected to the songs and was able to make something like that happen.
Totally. So would you say like the pandemic is like a huge inspiration behind this album? And if so,
it is, yeah.
What like songs would you pick out? Which ones did you write first? Which ones are your favorites?
Well, the record Humanizer is about sort of leveling of humanity and hierarchy, and the sort of like we're all people, we're individuals, we're all the same, we all struggle, we all succeed. So when someone's struggling and you're not, you can help them. And when you're struggling, someone can help you. And to remember that we can build community, and we have so much potential to improve the way of life that was kind of out of control prior to the pandemic. And then unfortunately, it still seems very out of control in some places in the world. It's like, I was really hoping that by now, when this record is being released, that there wouldn't be the huge issues that are happening. But the huge issues are showing us that there's still areas to improve, and that there's a huge resilience, you know, and for justice, and we're seeing that. And I'm like, kind of, you know, as unfortunate as some situations are right now in the world, there's a huge support. You can see you can see a lot of resilience and people fighting back. So maybe it is a good thing, even though it's very uncomfortable. that there is an opportunity for more justice. And so this, yeah, I mean, the record is about being equal and respecting our humans, each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally found that too. Like in the pandemic, my kind of thought was like, you know, this like chaos is happening. And then the like dominant narrative, like what everyone is saying is like, let's get back to normal. And it's like, was normal always so great for everyone to begin with? And it's like, maybe this is an opportunity that we can like change things and we can like learn from this and, you know, maybe, yeah. But I don't think that happened because that like idea of going back to normal was so strong. But yeah,
I think you're right. You know, I still hope that all of the chaos that's happening is still just like the bubbling of the pot and it's going to evaporate, you know, like I really want it to change. We couldn't afford to live in Vancouver, even though that was our home. And it's only gotten worse since we left. And like, how have people not like burnt the city to the ground in protesting, you know? And did we lose empathy in all of the chaos? And like, are people just more like, I just want to survive on my own and I'm not going to fight back because it's just easier this way. And I'm worried in a little bit because of that. And like, if I was in Vancouver and I had to pay $4,800 a month for a 2-bedroom, I would like, I don't know what I would do. You know, it's, I don't know how people survive there anymore.
Totally. I definitely feel that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've spoken to kind of the name of the record, which is Humanizer. But what about the name of your guys's project, Ancient Teeth? Where did that originate?
There's like a period of time where the records were being recorded or the music was being written and recorded. I didn't have a name and I wasn't sure what I was going to call it because it was either going to be my name because it's sort of a solo project, but it's, I really wanted to give it a band name because I just think it's, having a band name is cooler than just my name. And it was late at night. I was on my phone scrolling through Instagram and I found this video, like it kind of popped up of this alligator kind of like jumping out of the pond and it like grabs a pumpkin and it bites it and the pumpkin just explodes. And I was like, wow, look at those ancient teeth. And that was it. That's how I came up with the name.
That's sweet. Sometimes it just works. Sometimes you just like, you know when you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's kind of obscure enough. And then I couldn't find anyone else that had it. And I was like, all right, there you go. That's the band name. So simple as that.
Totally. You've said on your Bandcamp and other places that like you're a grunge band or a grunge project. That's how you see yourself. Who would you say are some of your bigger musical inspirations, maybe influences for this record specifically?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I think I love the title grunge because it's like just like gnarly guitars and bands like Nirvana were big, big influences on me. And also, like, sometimes there would be with grunge bands, there'd be an acoustic song and there'd be more experimental elements. And I think I always loved that. I love grunge. You know, it's a crazy name, grunge. You know, it sounds dirty, but it's not. But my parents, I think my parents, like, as I've been doing these interviews and as I've been sort of discovering, like, what are the real talking points, like the inspiration to create and perform always came from my parents. They were classical musicians. They were always in massive orchestras in Toronto or in Alberta, and just they would be practicing and playing all the time. And that was my reality. It was like, that's what you do when you're an adult, is that you practice and you play. And I studied classical piano for a very long time. And then, as soon as I saw Green Day or Nirvana videos on Much Music, I was like, that's what I wanted to do. I don't want to play classical music. I want to play crazy rock and loud music with big amps. And so I went on a 20-year path of discovery before I felt like I was ready to start making my own records. And now that I'm making my own records, I think that I'm drawing heavily upon you know, the classical influences. And I was able to get my parents to do some really cool stuff on this record. Vanishing Light is one of the tracks, and Stay in Bed is another one where like they've added these huge layers of like oboe and trumpet, and like there's some really dominant stark moments, and then there's really ambient moments, and they did that in their living room, and we recorded it on my laptop and got it going. And I'm so grateful that they were able to be a part of my record. You know, they're such, you know, I've had incredible parents. Some people don't get to say that, and I appreciate everything that they did for me and continue to do for me, and I would love to be able to record them more, you know. So
yeah, for sure. So this is like a very this is a very personal record for you. Like you have a lot of heart into it, and like a lot of your family is participating and stuff. Do you think that that's the direction that your project is going to go? Do you intend to do more stuff on this topic or change it up? Are you going to keep recording?
Well, I just finished the third record, to believe it or not, just finished last week. And that is sort of when I've been listening back to those masters, I feel totally at peace as a songwriter in this genre. And I think that I'm okay to leave what I'm doing right now. Like after that third record, I think, you know, who knows by the time it comes out where I'll be at, but what I would think is going to happen right now is after Humanizer's out, I'll do some performing. I think by the time I start writing again, I think I'm going to do something very much in a orchestral setting. I think that I would love to challenge myself and like write a 30 piece orchestra arrangement. Now, whether it's 10 minutes or it's 40 minutes worth of material is going to be just up to how it comes out. But I think that would be the next challenge is like doing an orchestra. And now you're the first person to hear that, I think.
That's sweet. That's awesome. So like, it seems to me that you just love music and being around music and being involved in it. And yeah, do you want to, going back to something you said before, do you want to speak about Much Music being one of your inspos too? Because I love that you bring that up.
Well, yeah, my mom took me out of school one day and was like, I got a special treat for you. And we went down to Much Music and we did a tour of the Much Music building. And oddly enough, the band Age of Electric was at Much Music doing an interview. And I remember their song Remote Control was like a huge hit at the time. And I was like, we were in this lineup to like go into another room and look at the studio or something. And I was like, holy crap, that's Age of Electric. And they became Limblifter, and I loved Limblifter. And then over the years, I ended up meeting Ryan Dahl, who's from Vancouver, and he's mastered both of the Ancient Teeth records so far, and he played Mellotron on this new one, on Vanishing Light. He threw down some Mellotron, and to see this really crazy circle of life, but also like, you know, Much Music was everything, you know. I discovered so many bands. There'd be like this I don't know if it was the Thursday 30, if that was the Edge, but it was, you have 30 songs, and it was like and I would VHS it, and then I would dump it to cassette, and then I would listen to that cassette throughout the week, go walking to school. And so yeah, you'd hear bands on your mixtape. It was like your own mixtape of music videos dubbed onto cassette. I don't know how, I'm sure a lot of people did that, but it was, I love that. Much Music was so important and so cool and such a huge inspiration. And that's when the you know, music industry was absolutely massive in the 90s. And I don't think they have anything like it anymore. I don't think there is a Much Music.
You know? I don't think that there is, an equivalent. We can mourn no else.
Yeah, and the Much West, like there's actually a really good friend of ours who's documented some of the Ancient Teeth stuff. His name is Jay Muris, and he started Much West with Nardwar, and he was the cameraman. And so I worked with him on a commercial in Toronto 10 years ago found out that he was involved in much. And then he started making some videos for Ancient Teeth, like promo videos and interviews and stuff. And it's like really incredible to connect with that part of Much Music. It was so pivotal. You'd see all these cool interviews and there he is. And he's actually done so much for the band. It's really cool.
Totally. Yeah. I feel like maybe in this like day and age or whatever, that connection between like how music gets through, like the media that you're like ingesting is not necessarily as like direct. Like you're not like literally like watching like a TV show on TV and you're like, I love this song, you know? It's like way more filtered. And I feel like, yeah, definitely as far as like Canadian music goes, I think just in general, like people living in Canada aren't hearing as much Canadian music as like with Much Music was like able to really, yeah, be super influential in that way. And
they had Sukyan Lee had a show called I think it was The Wedge, and she would go downtown Toronto and find new bands, and there'd be the Halifax version, and they would show you like Joel Plaskett, Thrush Hermit, like bands that you'd never hear of, and they would get a bit of a spotlight on their existence. And I think that's where I found Change of Heart and Limb Lifter, and you know, that's 30 years of people, those guys writing records and me following along, you know, like it was so exciting. It's so cool. I was going to say something. I don't know what I was going to ask you how the weather is there. Cause we really missed Vancouver.
It's like a little bit,
a little gray,
a little cloudy. There you go.
Yeah.
But nothing too bad. Yeah. That's
nice. Well, I feel so grateful that you get to live in Vancouver and enjoy it, because it's such a special place. And if anybody can survive it there, like I'm so happy for you, because we miss it so much and there's nothing quite like it. So enjoy all that lush, beautiful greenery.
So has Montreal like been a different chapter for you than even just the city?
Yeah, massive. I've always loved it here. And when I met my wife, we first started dating when she was at McGill a long time ago. So we kind of wanted to come back here and give it a shot. And with having two kids, the daycares are very accessible. And like, I think they're about the 10th of the price than they are in Vancouver. And so, you know, when we factored all of that in, we realized that we didn't have to have the second job and one of us could split a full-time job. So we have personal time, family time. And so it is really great for us right now. Although we're always like, how can we get back to Vancouver? How is it possible? But I think that's because we left so quickly, we never really got to say goodbye.
Yeah.
We never had a proper exit. And what we have in Montreal is so conducive to the family life, and it's still affordable, you know, newsflash everyone. And there's jam spaces everywhere. There's tons of music. There's tons of graffiti, tons of artwork. The battles between the French and the English are inspiring, and to learn about the story of the Quebecer is so important to appreciate, instead of being on the West Coast and being like, it's more like, I realize that there's a lot of history that needs to be sort of worked on, and like in so many parts of Canada. So I feel really lucky, because it's right now, it's a place that provides so much. And so I feel very grateful to be here.
Totally. Yeah. And Montreal has like a great music culture too, obviously. Oh,
like ridiculous. So many festivals. Like they close down the street for the whole summer with every weekend's a different festival. So they don't even open the street. It's just all pedestrian and all venues and huge stages, whether it's Afro Fest, Jazz Fest, Pooza, you know, there's, I think, Heavy Montreal. Like there's just so much. There's probably there's Yuck Yucks, Just for Laughs, there's comedy, it's like such a vibrant city that gives a lot back. Like you pay a lot in taxes, but you get a lot back.
Yeah.
And you see your tax dollars at work. So I think that says a lot about this place. And it's to be celebrated, you know, to have a city care so much about the arts, where like in other places you kind of have to fight for it. So I really love it. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I think we're going to wrap up there. And thank you so much for sharing your beautiful album with me as well.
Oh,
Excited
thank you
to
very
have
much for
come out
listening.
properly. So yeah,
Yeah.
Humanizer by Ancient Teeth comes out March 8th, which will be tomorrow. Let me hear this.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank
Okay,
you so much
great.
for joining me, Adrian. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Bye.
All right, welcome back to the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Serena, and that's an interview I just recently did with Adrian from Ancient Teeth, a grunge band from Montreal. So thank you so much, Adrian, for having this interview with me. I had a really great time talking to you. And we're gonna play my favorite song from your new album, or at least my favorite song so far, since the whole album isn't out yet. So we're gonna play Down a Hole by Ancient Teeth from the album Humanizer, which comes out on March 8th. So yeah, stick around for that. Thank you so much.
F7 Entertainment presents hardcore punk band Military Gun, performing cuts from their critically acclaimed album Life Under the Gun in Vancouver on Friday, March 8th at the Rickshaw Theater. Catch them in Vancouver before their upcoming performances at Bonnaroo and Coachella this year. Tickets on sale now at f7entertainment.com.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
We'll be right back.
Hello, and welcome back to the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM. That was Sacrifice by Ancient Teeth. My bad, I got the song title wrong. But we will be playing Down a Hole in a minute here. But first, we're going to talk about a couple shows that some correspondents went to. So if you guys want to take it away with that, that would be amazing.
Hello, I'm Mickey, and I went to the Coastal Dance Festival. It was in like New Westminster area, and it's like an annual thing. I think it was their 17th annual, and it was super cool. I think they gave a couple different speeches in the beginning, like they would introduce the different groups. So I want to say there were maybe like three or four different groups total, but I think a lot of the main point was just kind of like preserving cultural dances and stuff like that. Like things that had been lost over the years and just like traditions and stuff. And so that was a lot of fun. Most of them were like, they were singing and like making the noises and dancing and in costume and stuff. And then it took a really fun turn at the end. The last group actually brought out like a DJ and a projector, like a screen. So then it got super like exciting and like high energy. And there was a couple different dancers dancing with like babies on their backs too, so that was super cute and fun to watch. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I actually had no idea really what I was going into, but I really enjoyed it once I got there and was settled in.
So what I heard about the like event that you went to is like it was a bunch of different cultures dances. Is that, did you find that, or was it like one?
Yeah, there were at least like, I want to say there were like three or four total.
Okay.
Sweet. But it would be like a group performs like a couple different songs, and then the next group goes and performs a couple songs.
Oh, okay.
And they were all kind of like slightly different style. And then, of course, like when the DJ came out, it's totally different.
Wait, there's a DJ too?
Yeah, DJ came out at the last group, had a DJ, DJ Dash, and all of a sudden it was like super high energy and it was like really fun. Yeah.
That's sick. I feel like I haven't gone to a lot of dance specific shows.
Me neither.
Like I've gone to stuff that like incorporates dance, but yeah, what was like, what did you find with like a dance specific show?
It was very much also about the costume, because they weren't that like wearing sense. I guess the clothes that would optimize their dancing ability. Like it wasn't like they were wearing like dancers uniforms or anything, or like dance shoes. They were wearing kind of more traditional clothing like for the cultures they were representing. And so like they're all like cohesive. They all, the outfits went together, and they were like, they didn't talk about it a whole lot, but they definitely had like some meaning and stuff. And they were very different too, like between the groups. So that was cool to see.
Yeah, I'm sure. Which like costume did you like the best, or which performance did you like the best?
I want to say, well, it was really good and I was enjoying it before the DJ, but I want to say
before the DJ.
But I want to say the last one was my favorite, just because it's the most memorable. Because it kind of ended like, it was starting to get a little bit late and I was starting to get like tired, and then like all of a sudden it's like super loud and like exciting. So I would say that one, because also that dance did have the baby, so I would say that.
And I know that it was like a 3-day long festival, right?
Oh,
so did, which day did you go on, do you know?
I went on Friday night. It was from
I think you went on the first night.
Yeah,
so they have had a bunch more performances since. But yeah, it's cool that they do that every year. Like it's super cool. I feel like there's so much, like, rich cultural events that go on in and around Vancouver that I just, like, had no idea were happening until now. And then you actually go to them and you're like, oh, my gosh, like, how did I not know about this? This
totally.
Is, like, so huge.
And then also, like, the groups introduce themselves at the beginning, like, when they would start, and then also sometimes between the songs that they were performing. So it's cool to get, like, some background and to hear, like, because they were not just about, like, the things they were performing, but they would also talk about kind of, like, how their group started and came together and, like, who they were representing and stuff like that.
Whoa, that's sick. But you had a good time.
I did. I had a great time.
And, Cecilia, do you want to talk about the event that you went to?
Yeah, sure. The theater that I went to is called Sunrise Buddies.
Nice.
And it was at the Regional in East Van. It's basically about an all-female gang that operates at the basement of this matriarch. And they're just, like, dealing with, like, drugs, but then they accidentally start this turf war with, like, a prominent mobster. And well, and a corrupt VPD shows up saying that he's going to help them to like get out of the way, but obviously like things get complicated and that's how the scenario plays out.
But was it a true story or was it like only fiction?
Well, it was...
I was a little bit like not sure about that when I was...
Yeah, so it was like based on a real gang.
Whoa.
Called Clark Park Gang.
And was that in Vancouver or that was...
Yeah, that was in downtown Eastside, Vancouver.
That's crazy.
In the 1970s, so like around the same time. They had like a conflict in between like the gang and the police department. So they were like basically recreating it for the show.
Dude, that's so sick. But like what, tell me more about the performance, like the actual like nitty gritty of what was happening.
Sure. So the show, what was really interesting was it was like the crowd was basically seated like quote unquote in the stage because the stage was set up as a home, like a domestic home. And they had like the living room area and the dining area, and the crowds were basically along the walls, which basically was like, it made us like as if we were seated inside the house and we were just like watching it right in front of like what was
like happening. You were like really incorporated and like
So I would say like that was, it was like a really immersive experience. Yeah, and there were a lot of like coarse languages, a lot of like F words, and a lot of explicit violence and like scenes that showed abuse.
Oh wow.
So it was like very intense, but all of that just made everything like so realistic, and especially with the fake blood. I just loved that visual effect so much.
So was it like really heavy on like there's a lot of props and like a lot of like set design, or was it kind of more minimal?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was minimal, but it was like definitely like reduced to like only the props that really was needed for the show. But it was like enough to like show all the details of a home, to like replicate a home in the 70s. So that was really cool, and it was like very intense throughout the entire show, but also there were like really lighthearted, I know, like those like funny scenes time to time where they made jokes about like the cat that the matriarch owned. And it was really nice because you get to like laugh once in a while.
Yeah. So like it breaks up the like really intense like content. That's good.
Oh, I mean, yeah. And also touching on that, there were like two doors. One was supposed to resemble like the front entrance of the house, and the other one was like a doorway to like the other part of the house, to other parts of the house, I guess. But like obviously, like if you exit the door, then it would be exiting the stage. But the actors would come in and go out very frequently, so the scenes switched really quickly. So even though it was like really intense, there were like moments where like things kind of calmed down a little bit, and then like you switch the scene and then build up another suspense. It was nice. Yeah.
And then was, I might have missed this part, was it conflict between like multiple gangs or just one gang and like the VPD, or like kind of the story, what was?
Oh, you mean like the theater or the real game?
I think like the theater, yeah.
Oh, the theater. Okay, the theater. So it's like a conflict between the VPD and the gang,
the all female gang.
The all female gang.
Okay,
that's so sick that Vancouver had an all female gang.
Yeah, I did not know that. So interesting. Yeah.
But the all female gang, you know, gets into trouble with another mobster.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then is the other, like, the other mobster, is that, like, a main part of the story, too, or no? Like, not really.
If like, I say this, would this be a spoiler?
Oh, I actually have no idea.
Well, is it still, is the play still running, or is it over
until
now?
March 10.
Or, like, it's it show, like, the mobster's gang also, or just, like, the individual?
No, okay. The
I
mobsters...
think it's okay if you have, like, a light spoiler.
Okay.
Like, I think it'll be okay.
The mobsters never show up on stage, so, like, there are no actors for the mobsters.
Okay.
But they are a huge part of the story.
Like more like conversationally, like they just like discuss it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Do they delve at all into like the gang members' personal lives or no? Because I feel like that would be super interesting, especially it being set in like a house.
Right. I think
they even just like their backstories.
Yeah, like very like roughly they do, but it's more about like them having like a really strong personality. So I really love that. Like every member of the gang, they had like very distinct, significant personalities, and just like the way they act or like the way they talk. They were almost like, you know, like when you watch like those like cartoons, like the personalities of like some characters are like they're like very exaggerated.
Yeah,
caricatures.
Well, yeah, like when they're like acting.
Yeah.
So I really like that. It's like it was interesting to see that.
That's super interesting. Yeah. And what is it called?
Sunrise Betty's.
Have you gone to other plays in Vancouver recently? Because you went to the Tightrope one.
Yes.
And I'm guessing, like, that was not similar at all.
It was not similar at all because that was an improv, actually.
Right, okay.
So it was very different. Mm-hmm.
Which one did you prefer, like, you personally?
Ooh. Well, theme-wise, it was also different because that one was about romance.
Right, yes, right, okay. So and this one didn't have romance at all. Like, it was like, purely about the gang and, like, the happenings in the gang.
Or was
oh,
it?
Oh, absolutely. there was a love line, but...
Oh, my gosh.
Because you need
tell.
It. You need yeah. it, you know? But that was definitely not a main thing.
Right.
Like, personally, I think... I don't really have a preference because it's kind of hard to compare those two, you know?
Yeah,
like, they're
yeah,
really
yeah.
different.
Uh-huh.
But... Like, for an improv show, I would definitely prefer something to be, like, the show to be, like, more lighthearted, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing about, like, crime, because, I don't know, that, I think that would be so scary for me. Like, if it's an improv show and it's about, like, crime. Yeah.
Could you imagine an improv show? Like, and what if, like, an immersive improv show about, like, violence? They're just going to get you? Is that, like, what the plot is?
Like, with the special effects, like, the blood and stuff, so does that mean there was, like, a lot of violence, or...?
Yeah, so what was listed on the website was explicit violence, coarse language, depictions of domestic abuse, substance abuse, blood, loud noises, water-based haze, and very mature themes.
Okay.
So water it was recommended.
Haze. What is water-based haze?
Watch out for that.
It's basically like smoke. Like for the
smoke. Oh, okay. Device. Like a smoke machine.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Was and it like... The, oh, sorry. You go.
How was the audience? Like,
oh,
did
true.
You notice like
that's a
any...
good question.
In comparison to the other plays you've been to, like, did you feel like... Were there more women in the crowd this time? Or was it still kind of family-oriented? What were the vibes?
Yeah, I think there were a lot of family members, friends, and acquaintances for sure. But it could have been because it was the opening night.
True. That's true.
So normally that's how it goes for opening nights.
Yeah, it's definitely usually more like, you know, media and like friends and whatever that would like go to an opening night.
Right.
But I bet it's, I feel like it's cool to be in that environment too. Like people, I don't know, obviously there's stress because it's the opening night, but it's also a little bit like, oh, like, I finally get to show what I've been working on for so long to, like, my family and my friends. So, I don't know, sometimes I prefer going to, like, specifically the opening night because, like, I don't know, there's just a different energy.
When I went to Someone Like You, it was opening night, but going into it, I didn't know it was opening night, and I really enjoyed it. Well, not just because there were, like, refreshments after... But it was also just a nice feeling of like, we've been working on this for so long and we're so excited to show you. So that was cool, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been to a show that wasn't an opening night, in fact.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I know.
That's awesome. You're just like a celebrity. Like, everyone wants you there.
That's the perks if you go to shows through CITR.
Yeah, so true. Yeah. I was going to play Down a Hole by Ancient Teeth, as I said earlier, but we're having some major technical difficulties and we cannot play it, unfortunately. But I did just want to quickly reiterate that Ancient Teeth has a new album coming out soon in a couple days. It's called Humanizer. Both Sacrifice, which is the song that we did play, and Down a Hole, which is the song that I would love to play, but I'm being stopped. Just God doesn't have it. You know, it's not a possibility for today, unfortunately. Those songs are both on the new album. They already have one other album out as well. And yeah, I'm really grateful that they came on Arts Report this week and should definitely give the album a listen. But that just about is wrapping up our show. And when we do like a nice little casual Wednesday night chill review type episode, something that I've like inherited from Ruby, because I know, Cecilia, we were talking about Ruby, the old host of Arts Report.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things she would always do, maybe there's some like diehard fans out there, is kind of speculate about the nice meals that everyone is driving home to on a nice Wednesday hump day. So what is the meal that would be just so cathartic to have today for you? I'm thinking spaghetti and meatballs. If I could go home and have some spaghetti and meatballs with some nice, like, Parmesan cheese all over it, that would be dope. I think that that would be my happy place. So, dear listeners, I hope you are driving home and dreaming of the spaghetti that you're going to be having. Margot, do you have a suggestion?
Or soup dumplings.
Oh, my God. Honestly. Yes. I love soup dumplings.
They warm the soul.
Literally. So yeah. Much. Mickey?
I'm thinking something with, like, toasted walnuts, maybe, like, a salad or something. I don't know.
Toasted walnuts and, like, strawberries?
Mm-hmm. Yum. Something yummy like that. I also love a toasted pine nut, like, with pesto. Yum. Super good.
Ooh. Do you have one?
Yeah. Steak.
Oh, nice.
As boring as it sounds.
Keep it real.
Treat yourself. Steak. Love to drive home to a steak.
Literally. Are you kidding me? Waiting for you. Yum. Okay, well, thank you, dear listeners. And I hope you have a wonderful meal tonight of either, and these are your only options, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, you're not allowed to, if you have been listening to this and you're listening right now, you must eat one of these four meals. So, spaghetti and meatballs, a nice salad with some walnuts, soup dumplings if you're feeling a little bit fancier, or just a steak. Just a good old classic steak.
Nothing but steak.
Nothing
but steak. Yum, allowed any side
Yeah, no,
dishes.
No beans or mashed potatoes at all. Anyways, thank you so much and have a good evening.